Good morning, HoCo Live. This is Brendan Byrne coming at you with another episode. Today, it's pretty nice outside. Not too cold, not too hot, a little humid. Fall is slowly working its way here, hopefully sooner rather than later. Chris is not here again to join us. She is still out, but I am joined today by Beth Amistad. She is the immunization program supervisor for the HoCo Health Department. Beth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So, Beth, why are you here today? What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about immunizations because it is the Immunization Awareness Month. Basically, in any population, children, adults, and again, the flu season.
That's right. Yeah, very important to get your shots. So, Beth, before we get into that, can you give me a bit of a background information about yourself? Like, how did you get into this career? Where did you start?
Well, actually, I went to college Hanover College in Indiana. I got a bachelor's degree in biology, and then I went to University of Maryland and did a master's degree in zoology, and then I worked for the NIH at the National Institute on Aging, and then I got married and left the science for about 7 or 8 years. And then when I came back to the country, I went back into a science area, which turned out to be nursing. And I got my degree at University of Maryland. And then I went to look for a job, and I found what I thought was a perfect job at the Howard County Health Department. It was in a program called Infants and Toddlers. It was a home visiting program for early intervention for children from birth until 3. And I did that for about 15 years, maybe. I did do a segue in reproductive health there in the health department, but then I went back to infants and toddlers. And since I started, I've always done immunizations, childhood and adult immunizations as part of that program. But a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to interview and get this position. And that's where I've been for the last, I think, 3 years. I can't remember.
Time flies.
It does. It really does.
So that's a bit of a shift from zoology. Was that so this is kind of a career path you weren't always dead set for yourself,
no,
I guess?
No, actually, I at one time wanted to be a veterinarian, but that didn't work out. So, no, I think the thing about having the science background helps me in many ways to understand the subject matter. Not that nurses don't. But I did learn in nursing that it's a totally different view of health, and it's more of that caring side that, of course, as a scientist, you don't have that caring side. I mean, they may care, but the point is it's not taking care of patients. It's really just finding out what's going on and trying to find reasons or help for whatever it is you're looking at in the way of research. So it's been a different, I've had to kind of change, but I do like the fact that I have that science background that helps me with my understanding of what we do.
Absolutely. I mean, many would argue it's very important to understand the kind of work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I definitely empathize with that. I mean, we all change career paths sometimes. I started out as a mechanical engineering major. Now I'm working in a radio station. So,
wow, that yeah. is... Yeah, but you understand all your machinery and things like that.
For the most part, yeah. Luckily, I don't have to really program anything too complicated, so I'm mostly fine.
That's great.
So, moving on from our college careers, let's talk about Immunization Awareness Month. That is this August, correct?
Yes.
The month that is almost over.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But actually, the health department, if you follow them on Facebook or on... what's the other one? Instagram. Thank you. Matt's nodding at me, thankfully.
Snapchat, Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. Do we do those?
We have oh. Twitter, not a Snapchat.
Okay.
I was more joking about the Snapchat.
Yeah, those I don't know about. I do have Facebook and Instagram. But anyway, they do a very good job. Our PIO group, Matt and Lisa, do a very good job of pulling information from the CDC or other sources that highlight something like what we're doing this month, the immunization awareness. So basically on those two forums, and again, I don't really know if there's anywhere else that we advertise, but they send out these very nice things that remind people of how important it is to vaccinate or for immunizations.
Yeah, season is coming up. Might want to get your shots in. So when does flu season technically start?
Flu season technically starts when the vaccine is available. So okay. All the vaccine manufacturers do ship out vaccine in August. So like places like your Target pharmacies, a lot of pharmacies, maybe some really big groups of doctors or things, they may get their vaccine in August. Other people, like the health department, we don't receive our vaccine until about the middle of September. And again, it just depends. But the point is, that's really the start of the season, is August.
Gotcha.
And then it goes all year long until the vaccine actually expires, which would be next June.
Yes. I was told, that the flu season can go as far as June, so to speak, which I was very surprised to hear.
Well, it's true. And I remember, maybe not last year, but about a year or so ago, I was giving vaccine in June of that season. Now, granted, someone who was vaccinated with that season has to come back starting in August to get the new vaccine, because every year the flu vaccine is different. It has different strains of flu in it. And so it's very important that you get the flu shot every year.
So yeah.
That's why.
The same shot once 12 years ago isn't going to do it.
Probably
not, right?
Well, it all depends. I don't have a history of what the flu strains have been, but some do recycle. Like the H1N1 flu strain has been in this vaccine, I think, for many years now. But again, they pick the flu vaccine based on the Southern Hemisphere, what's circulating down there, and they have to get that information to the World Health Organization by January, when they can send the seeds out to the companies making flu vaccines, so they can, because the process takes a little while, so they have to be, and they have to do all their quality control and all that stuff, so they can basically have a product and then ship for August. Yes, it is August, isn't it?
Okay. Yes. It's almost over. I know it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
It's September starts in just a couple days.
It does. It does. Yeah.
So with September coming up and those vaccines going to be hopefully available around that time, where can people get vaccines who don't have insurance? This is a big question I've run into.
Are we talking about children's vaccines, adult vaccines, or just the flu?
Why don't we start with just children's vaccines?
Okay, for children's vaccines, if a family does not have insurance or their insurance company does not pay for vaccines, and usually that's in your policy, or you have medical assistance, the health department can vaccinate that child through the Vaccines for Children, which is a state-run federal and also federal program. So that's easy. You just call the main desk at the health department, and they will ask you questions, and then you can get an appointment. As for adults, also children, if you have insurance or medical assistance for that matter, and you have a doctor, then that's who should be vaccinating your child. So keeping up with those milestone vaccination appointments, basically. And for adults, we vaccinate adults at the health department, but on a fee-for-service basis. That would mean you would pay for the vaccine and administration fee, and then you would then either submit that to your insurance to try to get reimbursed, or if you wouldn't, then that's what you do for that. And so that's a very small program for us. We used to have a very big one, because you can get vaccines for adults most anywhere now, where in the past, the health department really was the only place you could get, like, the tetanuses and the hepatitis A and B and things like that, not travel so much, but for people that needed it just in general or coming into the country, that kind of thing. And then the flu vaccine, you can get pretty much anywhere. pharmacies. Now, typically, a pharmacy will use your insurance to pay for that shot. I don't know if they actually provide free vaccine.
Yeah.
It is free because your insurance will pay for it. It's part of your policy. But I don't know if you're truly without vaccine. So the health department, that's kind of where we try to come in and help out. We will have two walk-in, first-come, first-serve clinics, in one in October, on October 20th. It's a Sunday at the Wild Lake Interfaith Center from 9 to 1. And then the second one is at St. John's Baptist Church on November 2nd. It's also going to be from 9 to 1. So we offer free vaccine. The other thing that we do is, based on what I have, the amount of vaccine I have, we also vaccinate people that are first responders, you know, because we want to be sure that they're protected and those kind of things. But we also go out to, say, the libraries and hold community clinics there too. It kind of changes every year. It just depends on how much vaccine I have and how much I use and what I have left. But really, I usually have flu vaccine through the beginning of the next year. We usually have walk-in clinics that people can just walk in. A nurse is on call. You can get vaccinated at the health department there at site. We'll go out to different places. We try to target more children-oriented things. You know, we try to be creative and use our vaccine.
Yeah. So. Very, very important to put that word out.
Yeah.
So at these community clinics that you have scheduled, are they for flu vaccines only?
Okay. Yes, it's only flu. Yeah.
Okay.
The children's vaccines, you need an appointment. And we offer appointments on Mondays and Fridays from 8:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon with the break for lunch. You know, we do a variety of things because the state of Maryland, through the COMAR regulations, we're required to, kids need vaccines at certain times of their lives for the school entry. So like right now, next week, the school is starting. So certain age groups of children need certain vaccines. So we're offering two walk-in clinics for these particular vaccines and nothing else. On September 3rd and September 5th at the health department. It's walk-in, first come, first served. There's no cost to these vaccines. It is through a program. It's called Back to School. And they come in, the nurses would triage that child's record, determine what they need, and then the nurses would vaccinate them. So, excuse me, from kindergarten to fifth grade, the COMAR regulation says that a child entering school needs to have a second varicella, chickenpox. So, because what it is like a catch-up kind of thing. It's, kindergarten is really when you need it, so that's probably when you see the most kids being vaccinated. But kids do slip through the cracks, and so they every year they add another year or another school year to that. So next year would be kindergarten through sixth grade. So the next age that requires vaccines is a seventh grader, and now we're up to, if you're through 12th grade, those children need tetanus with pertussis, which is whooping cough, and a meningitis shot that has four different serotypes in it. It's called MCWY, I think. No, it's MCV4. It has A, C, W, and Y.
A, C, W, Y. So these are shots that you get when you're starting around seventh grade.
Correct. So a seventh grader going to school in Howard County has to have these two particular shots. So we're offering those vaccines, and we're also offering two others. One is human papillomavirus. All teenagers or preteens from the age of 11 can get this vaccine. I'll tell you a little bit about that. It's a very nice thing about HPV vaccination. And the other is meningococcal B, which is another serotype which is not part of the MCV4. At this point, we don't know whether or not they'll combine them at some point, but right now they're two separate. We're offering that for 16-year-olds. It's kind of like a college thing, because when you go to college, you're exposed to all these people and the living environment, and we want them to be protected for this particular illness.
And so for general audiences might not know what that vaccine is referring to. What is that to prevent?
Prevents meningitis. It's bacterial meningitis, yes. Yeah. And you may have heard, you know, there are people, especially someone at University of Maryland who has gotten this disease, and it's quite devastating.
Yes.
Quite devastating. So you want your teenager who's going to college. Now, we do vaccinate for that original meningococcal starting at 11.
Yes.
But you do have to have a second one when you turn 16.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you do. Okay. Well, see.
Well, they had a checklist before when I was applying to UMBC.
Uh-huh.
So I'm from Pennsylvania. They wanted to make sure that and have record that I had gotten that second shot. They were very serious about that. And, of course, since my mom's a nurse, I did.
Of course you did.
She kept me up to date on all my shots.
Yes.
I don't think I ever missed a shot. So never really a big concern.
Well, I may embarrass my daughter, but my daughter's had three of those now because she went to grad school and they forced her to get – because it's been 5 years since her second MCV4 and – I shouldn't say forced, but they really were quite adamant. So she got a third one just to go to grad school. So
Gotcha. She's
a good kid. So, but the other thing I wanted to mention about HPV, and again, this is something we're offering to that seventh grade and older population, is if you are 14 years and younger and you start the HPV vaccine, you only need 2, 6 months apart. However, if you're 15 and older, you'll need 3. So we kind of like to use that as a little selling point. You know, your kid starting this vaccine, he only needs 2 because you're at the right age. And it helps the kid, too, because then they look at you and think, oh, more shots. But you say, oh, you only need 1 more, and then you're done with this series.
Like
so that's a good thing.
2 now or 3 later. What do you want?
Exactly. Just to protect you against something that causes cancer. HPV is a cancer viral infection. So
I can understand wanting to prevent that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Not wanting cancer.
Yeah.
I can empathize with that.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
No.
So
very important, very exciting thing about HPV, the vaccine, not about HPV itself, not a very exciting, very exciting disease.
No.
So we've talked a bit about the flu vaccine. Are there any other important shots that, let's say, children in particular should be getting this?
Of course, the school system is extremely good. They really keep a good handle on vaccinations, and we work with them very closely to be sure that all the kids are vaccinated with what the school system is required to have, required to have for the school system. But we do have vaccines that are not required, and we always offer those to every child who's, at the right age or whatever the situation is. One of them is hepatitis A, and of course, human papillomavirus, HPV, is not required. Neither is the Men B for school, meningococcal B, which is, we usually give between that 16 and 18 year range. And I'm trying to think. I don't think flu is not required for school, but of course, we do partner with Maryland Partnership for Prevention, and they are the ones that go in and vaccinate the school population because they vaccinate all the way from kindergarten through the high school. So it can be upwards to 13,000 students in the Howard County Public School system. They will be sending out information in backpacks or however the school system does it. About signing up for this flu program in the school that MPP does.
And you say that the flu shot's actually not required technically by the school system?
It is not required, no.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised to
hear
that.
They do like the kids to have it.
Yeah.
But again, you can do it through the Maryland Partnership for Prevention, which means that the nurses come to the school and vaccinate the kids whose parents have signed them up. Mm. They can be signed up either on a paper copy, which is available, would be going home to the students after the first week of school, or there is an app that they can use, which is very convenient and easy to use. So if people feel comfortable doing that, they can do that. And then that goes into their database. The nurses know how many at this X school they're going to vaccinate, and then they take all the material and all the vaccine they need, and they just go into the schools. And so it works out very well. It's been, I think, quite productive. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that kids are getting shots, staying safe.
Yeah.
So speaking more about child safety, I know we'd be a little remiss if we didn't at least mention some people, particularly in this country, take issue with vaccines in terms of they are not very sure about the safety and security of them.
Yeah.
What can you say to help maybe quell that fear or worry that some parents might have about vaccines, like and the safety and integrity of them?
Well, first of all, vaccines are very safe. There's been a lot of research and development gone into creating the safest vaccines. For the ingredients in particular, they're very clean. In the old days, I don't believe that was true. The other thing, it's very hard because we don't want anyone to feel like we're not listening to them. So it's really good that you talk to your provider, doctor. If you come to the health department, talk to us. If we can't help you make a decision, then we can maybe give you other resources of places to go. I mean, reputable places that you can read information about the vaccines or anything in particular. I personally don't have a lot of problem in the health department. I think it's partly because we're very natural about this. I vaccinated my children with everything. I feel they're fine. They're grown up. Mm-hmm. The point is, I think they need to know that we're listening to them, that we're understanding their concerns and their, and maybe giving them an answer that they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's through conversation and research, good research in areas from people who know what these things are about, that I think a parent can feel reassured. So, I mean, I'm hopeful. And like I say, our parents are very good. They really do listen. And there's no argument. We try to be as understanding. And if they don't feel right at that moment, then, you know, we'll give them opportunities to come back. The trouble might fall into the fact that the school system does require the vaccines. So that's something that we'd have to talk more about, because again, if you decline the vaccines, you may have to remove your child from school if there is an outbreak. I don't really know exactly what their policies are, but that's a problem.
Yes.
For the school system.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, very important, get those shots. They're very safe. And once again, we mentioned this earlier, you have two scheduled community clinics coming up. Just to make sure we have that information out there, when and where are these clinics happening?
Okay, the first one is October 20th, and it's at the Wild Lake Interfaith Center. And the other is November 2nd, and that is at St. John's Baptist Church. And we will have information going out like through the Facebook and whatever the health department has in the way of advertisement. We may be also communicating with the Howard County government to see if they have methods that they can kind of give that information out. So that's going to happen probably starting up sometime this month. Of course, right now, I don't have any vaccine, so I can't promise anything. I mean, I don't think anything will happen, but I don't want to promise something and then turn out that for some reason there's a shortage. There was a year, I remember very well, that there was a huge shortage of vaccine.
Really?
Well, they had a lot of problems with their quality and control at some of these. I don't remember how long ago it was, but it really did create a shortage. So, but I haven't heard anything. So please, nobody start any rumors.
That was a long time ago, and we've gotten a little bit better, I'd say, since then.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that until I get my shipment, we do plan to do these, and I'm hoping that people will turn out.
All right. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So we have those clinics coming up. You said October 20th and November 2nd. 2nd? All right. Mm-hmm. So before we go, I'd like to check our Facebook page to see if we get any questions for our guests. And we do, actually, from my mom, the nurse.
Oh, question herself. Welcome.
she's asking, are you guys having any trouble getting the new shingles vaccine? And are you seeing a higher incidence in the adult arena?
Well, actually, I don't know about actual shingles cases. I'm not actually in communicable disease, even though I work very closely with that group of people. So I don't really know that about that. But yes, I've gotten a lot of phone calls from people of the age who would be vaccinated, and they're having a hard time finding the shingles vaccine, the new one, that is, the Shingrix. That's the GSK product. They might not have the other one. I'm not even really sure. But, that product is... I haven't been told per se by the manufacturer that it's there's a problem, or it's just there's such high demand that they haven't been able to keep up with it or not. But yes, I have heard from people looking for it. We don't carry it. It's an expensive vaccine, and most people would be covered by their insurance, so it would be through a doctor. Or I've been hearing too, the other thing, part of your, I don't know if this is something you can use, but people are going on wait lists at the pharmacies. And they're putting their names on several pharmacies to see whether or not they get called. So that's the only other thing I know about it. So good question.
Okay. Yeah, very, very important to know. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about immunization awareness.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
All right, so guys, we'll be back next week on Wednesday. Monday we'll be off because it's Labor Day. So until then, have a good weekend. Good luck for everybody going back to school. Enjoy the last hurrah of summer, and we will see you all then. This is Brendan Byrne signing out.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.